Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
As the songs say, welcome to the MIP. And you know we have a great show lined up for you today. A lot going on in the NFL. That's a big game. Chiefs, best, Bucks, 27-24. COVID is going crazy in the NFL. Speaking of crazy, I had some crazy great battles against our guest. And since the Redskins just beat my Cowboys and so much about these receiver battles, my guy, Darryl Green, Hall of Fame cornerback from the Washington Redskins, sit down with me to discuss all that is going on across the National Football League and some of those great battles that we had. And also, last but certainly not least, we shall unveil the Playmakers of the Week. And we've had dominating performances go on last week. So let's dive right into big deal, no big deal. Chiefs over the Bucks, 27-24 in Tampa. Get this, bigger deal. Loss for Bucks, a win for Chiefs. Oh, there's so much in this to unpack. So much to unpack. Let me jump right into this. First of all, it's a much bigger deal, the loss for the Bucks, than the win for the Chiefs. We all expected the Chiefs to win this football game, but it was a great barometer because everybody got the Chiefs probably winning the Super Bowl. It's a great barometer to measure the team that everybody had going to the Super Bowl in August against the team that really won the Super Bowl last February. And actually, if you're a Bucks fan, I'm saying it's a bigger deal because the information you take away from this game and the information you got after this game, it tells you everything. Let me tell you what I mean. First of all, you saw something late in that game because Tom Brady started pulling this team back. The team, they were down 27-10. Tom Brady drove down and scored two touchdowns late in the game. Now, with about 4 minutes and something left, the Chiefs get the ball back, and they just couldn't get the Chiefs off the field to give the ball back to Tom Brady. But there are a lot of great things I saw in this. First of all, number one, the Bucs defense held the Chiefs to 27 points. You call that a victory. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Tyreek Hill, who went off. Went off, man. Tyreek Hill, 7 receptions, 202 yards in the first quarter. He went off. So you walk away saying we held the Chiefs to 27 points and their best players went off, exploded. Mahomes had 462 pass yards in the game. That's the most any quarterback has ever gotten when he's played against Tom Brady. Tom Brady's experienced a lot of firsts this year, a lot of new things. You know, he had never lost to a team, never been swept by a team. Well, the Saints did that for you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And now nobody's ever thrown for 462 pass yards and beat him. Well, Patrick Mahomes just did that for you. So he's experiencing a lot of firsts. But all of that, pales in comparison to what I'm about to give you right here. This is why you come to the MIP. This kind of information only lives right here. There was information that came out in the press conference where Bruce Arians said Tom Brady's been calling his own plays. See, every show has been getting on Bruce Arians saying, stop making Tom Brady play your game and let him play the game that has got him 6 Super Bowl rings. Bruce Arians like playing long to short, no risk it, no biscuit, throw it up the field. I say, I understand, I like the philosophy, no risk it, no biscuit, but understand you don't have the offensive line. You got to stop risking it because you're making Tom Brady the biscuit. He's the biscuit. They're eating him up. 27 points your defense held. Tom Brady is running his own offense. This is incredible because the fight is now between Tom and Tom and not Tom and Bruce. Let me tell you what makes the greatest athletes in the world. It's their belief in what they see. You see, so all along I thought it was Bruce Arians forcing Tom to do something that Tom did not want to do by throwing the ball up the field. When Bruce Arians gave me this information, everybody started saying, oh my God, Bruce is saving himself by throwing Tom under the bus. And they went a lot of different directions. I thought this is the best thing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans. When you are great, what helps you to be great is your greatest asset. But at some point, it could become your greatest liability. Tom Brady, when you saw his body, when you saw Tom coming up, he didn't look like he was going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And everybody probably told him that, but he did not listen. He didn't listen. He listened to only what he knew inside himself, and he became the greatest of all time. So it's hard to get someone to listen when they didn't listen before. You see, when he didn't listen before, it was his greatest asset. He didn't listen to you. He went and willed this happen. He made it happen. But now if he doesn't listen, it becomes his greatest liability. The great ones that stay around too long, people were telling them to get out, but they didn't listen. It became a great liability because they didn't listen. But they didn't listen because they didn't listen before when it was their greatest asset. This is what's great. So Tom now is calling his own plays. So Tom was throwing those balls deep. That was Tom calling those plays and doing that. And I say to you, Tom was doing it to make sure he keeps everybody intact. You know, Mike Evans is up the field kind of guy. I'm going to try to make him happy and everything. Now that I know he's not fighting Bruce Arians, he's only fighting himself. This all will get corrected. All of it will get corrected. If he was fighting Bruce Arians, you would be going through this the whole year. Because why should Tom listen to Bruce when he's won six? He's going to say, I want to run it my way. Bruce saying, I want to run it this way. He said, why should I listen to you? I won six. But when it's Tom fighting Tom, sooner or later, he's going to listen to the other Tom. He'll get to the point where he says, okay, I know that I'm crazy happy because I got such talent. And I know I didn't have this talent in New England. So what I got to do now is calm down and stop trying to force my ability to make it reach the talent on this team and make sure the talent excels off my ability. I can play my game. I have to just play my game and allow the talent to do what it does. This fight is an easier fight for Tom to win, which entails will help the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win. That's why this loss for the Bucs was a big deal and a much bigger deal on the loss. Tom knows now, hey, listen, I can't throw for throw with guys like Patrick Mahomes. I got to play my game, and I can change this because I'm calling all the plays. Everybody else is going crazy that Bruce Arians said this, thinking Bruce Arians is throwing Tom under the bus. I say this, if you are a Buccaneers fan, should give you hope. Because now I believe they can correct these issues and come back and have a chance at getting to that Super Bowl in their own home stadium. Stay tuned and then watch what I'm telling you. And then just call back later and say, boy, play make up. You are right. Again. That's all I'm telling you. Let's move on. Next story. Cardinals drop to the Patriots 2017 in Foxborough. The Cardinals lose to the Patriots 2017. Big deal or no big deal? It's no big deal that the Cards lose this game. I know everybody, we get so caught up in the new guy, and it's Kyler Murray right now. And of course, the new combination of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. And we put them on a pedestal. But it's still a young team learning how to win. It's no big deal that they lost this game. That's part of the process of them learning how to win. Now, what I'll tell you this. I'm going to give you something to watch that could make this a big deal later on. There were some things that Bill Belichick did in this game. And I don't know how many people caught it. But I'm going to give it to you guys so you can start watching as you move through this when you see the Cardinals play. Two things he did. He wanted to keep Kyler Murray in the pocket. So he kept his ends wide to keep him in the pocket. And then he told his defensive lineman, rush as best you can. But when you get as deep as you can, just start putting your hands up and jumping. Oh, my God. I knew it. I said, oh, my God, Bill Belichick's incredible. He's going to come up with something to throw you off. And I've seen no one else do this. So now we're going to keep him in the pocket by keeping our ends up the field. And I'm going to tell my interior defensive lineman, rush as deep as you can. But when you think he's getting ready to pass, put your hands up and just start jumping and jumping. We wonder, how much does Kyler Murray's height affect him? I don't think anybody really employed this technique. Now we're really going to see, because others are going to find out, how did the Patriots beat you? What did they do? And they will watch these tapes and try some of the same things. No big deal you lost the card. No big deal you lost cards. But if you let this linger, then that is a big deal. So you got to get that fixed. You got to get them outside the pocket because you can't make them taller. Bill Belichick, you did it again. Incredible. Titans dominate Colts. This next story is interesting to me. I got to break this down for you. The Titans dominated the Colts. Dominate them. Blew my mind. This is a big deal or no big deal. And I'm going to tell you why I say it's a big deal. Because the domination should have been a message to all others in the AFC, that when we are right, we are unstoppable. When the Titans are right, they are unstoppable. In week 10, I picked the Titans to beat the Colts, right? The game was in Tennessee. We had it was a Thursday night game. We had the game. We all picked the Titans. Everybody went crazy after. I said at the end of the game, oh, my God, this is going to be a close game. I almost changed, and I said, I hate when all of us pick one team, because if the Colts win, they're going to retweet this text of us all having the Titans win. They'll retweet it over and over again. And after they won the game, they did just that. They did just that. They retweeted it all over. Michael beat the Colts. And I fell for it. I fell for it because I watched Michael Pittman in week 10 get 100 yards. I said, oh, my God, Michael Pittman coming on, T.Y. Hilton getting healthy. You know, they got a run game with that defense. The Colts can do something. And I still believe that. But I saw something here. When the Titans are playing Titans football, I mean physical football, they out-physicaled the Baltimore Ravens. And they were physical on both ends. Derrick Henry running the ball. And you saw the plays. You saw the plays made by A.J. Brown catching the ball. Now, the Colts beat the Titans in week 10. A.J. Brown only had one reception for 21 yards. And Derrick Henry had 103 yards. But he did not have a touchdown. Neither one of those beasts had touchdowns. And the Colts were able to win that game. The Colts got to understand, they can't let both beasts go off. Derrick Henry got 100 yards, but they stopped A.J. Brown. This last game, there was no stopping either one of them. Derrick Henry was coming downhill, and he was running hard. And then A.J. Brown, he went off. He went off. When both of those guys are doing what they do, Colts, you have no shot at beating them. And a lot of those teams in the AFC, if both are playing and playing hard like this, look out. You're going to have some problems. You hear me what I'm saying, Pittsburgh? You hear what I'm saying, Kansas City? You hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, if they are real, then you will have real problems if both of those beasts are going off, Derrick Henry and A.J. Arthur Juan Brown. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room. Collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. COVID gone wild in the NFL. Let's break down what COVID has caused. Did y'all watch that Broncos game the other day? The Broncos were without their entire quarterback depth chart for Sunday. The entire quarterback depth chart. They lost to the Saints 31-3. Locke, Ripken, and Bortles, who is on the practice squad, were all designated high-risk, close contact to Jeff Driscoll, who tested positive. So they could not play. The four quarterbacks were determined to have broken protocol by not wearing a mask at all times or social distancing properly, including in a Tuesday meeting with Driscoll. So the NFL made them play the game without a QB. Now, hold that right there. The other side of COVID gone wild is what we're seeing right now with this Raven and Steeler game. The Raven Steelers game postponed from Thursday, that was last Thursday on Thanksgiving, to Sunday, to Tuesday, and now to Wednesday. And hopefully we'll get it in. You know, as of now, you never know. And we're shooting this a little bit sooner, so you just never know. Hopefully we will get that game in. But is this a big deal or no big deal? It's impossible to say this is not a big deal. This is a big deal. Let's talk about why it's a big deal. There's so much sent in here, so many messaging sent from the NFL to all 32 teams. Okay, Broncos, we just sent out a message. We just told everybody that we're locking down. We're being more stringent. We want masks on the sidelines. We want everybody to be more careful because we see the outbreak that's going on all around our country, and we want to get through this season. We just levied all of these, and now we find you guys are not following protocol? We got to send a message to everybody. And it's an easier message to send when your quarterbacks are named Locke, Ripken, and Bortles. There is no Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, none of that in here. And you broke the rules. We don't care who you put at quarterback, but we will use you to send a message to everybody. Don't mess with the NFL. I almost said that other word, you know, because when I do autograph sessions, everybody always want you to write, and then they want you to write what they call an inscription. And they always say, don't F with the star. They want you to always write, don't F with the star. Don't F with the, you know, everybody wants you to write. I almost said that right here. I don't know why I just shared that with you, but the NFL is telling you, don't F with the NFL. There it is. That's what they're telling you. Because right now, you guys didn't have the mask on, and you know we can't let anybody right now think that this is okay. You got to play this game with no quarterbacks to make sure everybody else follow all rules. And we are so happy that none of you are the marquee names that we're even able to set this example. That's what they did. They set an example. So it's a big deal. Everybody mask up, social distance, because they're coming down hard on everybody. The Ravens Steelers game postponed from Thursday to Sunday to Tuesday to Wednesday. Yeah, that's a big deal too. Because they're telling you, understand this, no matter what, we're getting through this season. We're going to keep doing what we have to do to get through this season. They didn't just move the Ravens and the Steelers around. They moved around a whole bunch of games. Now the Washington Steelers game got moved. The Dallas Ravens game got moved. All of this because they're being direct when they tell you we're getting through this season, and I happen to applaud them for that. I appreciate that. I need football right now. I just need it. I'll go crazy without it. So I'm happy that they are making sure we get through it. All of it is a big deal. Do the right thing so you're not in that deal. That's what you need to do, and that's the message the NFL is sending. You guys see this? Speaking of sending a message, Texas wide receiver Will Fuller and cornerback Bradley Roby suspended 6 games for PEDs. On the surface, you say this is no big deal. It's no big deal. The Texans aren't going anywhere. They're not going to the playoffs. They're not going to make a big deal. So they get 6 weeks off. But I want to break this down for you. It may be no big deal on the surface of all of us. But those two dudes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's a huge deal to those guys. Millions and millions and millions dollar deal to those guys. Millions of dollars to those guys. Bradley Roby just signed his new deal. And he signed a 3-year, $36 million extension. That's about $12 million a year. If you break that out into 16 games, he makes about $750,000 per game. 6 games, man. You just gave back a lot of money. That's 6 games. 6 games at $750,000. That's about $4.5 million right there that he's giving back. $4.5 million. But even him, he can still say, all right, I'm going to lose $4.5 million, but, you know, I make the rest of this contract, I still get, you know, my 33 million. You know what I mean? I'm going to still get my 32 million. So he is still good. Will Fuller is another story. And Will Fuller put out a statement that he trusted some medical guy that told him that this medication he gave was fine and not on the banned list. And he misplaced his trust in this medical professional. If I'm Will Fuller, I'm telling you right now, Will Fuller's in the last year of his contract, his rookie deal. He makes $10 million this year. Will Fuller, contract right now for next year, I see him somewhere. T.Y. Hilton makes 13 a year, Diggs at 14. Jarvis Landry, 15. Brandon Cooks is at $16 million. So say his number will be about anywhere from $12 to $16 million. His agent's job is to get him as close to the 16 as possible. The team's job is to try to keep him as close to 12 as possible. And every team is going to use this to keep him close to $12 million. So when I'm saying if I'm Will Fuller, I'm going to make sure right now that my attorney files lawsuit against this medical professional. If this is true, I'm going to make sure. Will Fuller has already put up career numbers, receptions, and yards for this year. He was projected to even have even greater numbers, well over 1,000 yards, well over 10 touchdowns. So those projections will get him these numbers, get him close to $16 million a year. I got to make sure I sue this guy. If this is really what happened, I have to sue him and make it known so the other 31 teams I'm talking to, I'm saying, trust me what I'm telling you, I'm not going to be suspended again. This is not some performance-enhancing drug I'm taking. This is really a mistake and a mistrust that I gave to this guy. That's why you have to file a lawsuit just to set it straight and make sure the other 31 teams get you closer to the 16 instead of the 12. It cost Bradley Roby $4 million. It can cost Will Fuller $4 million a year. To him and Roby, that's a big deal, even though on the big surface, no big deal. The Texans weren't going anywhere, but you lose that kind of money, buddy. I'm sorry. Hard for me to say no big deal to that, especially coming from the ghetto that I came from. So, you know, I'm sure. Will Fuller, I just gave you some advice. Get your lawyer and file a lawsuit. That's all I'm telling you. Hey, last story here. Big deal or no big deal. DK Metcalf posts career highs in receiving yards with 10 receptions, 177 yards, and a 23-17 win over Eagles on Monday Night Football. Now, I want to say this is a no big deal because we're going to see grand games like this out of this kid with Russell Wilson for quite a while because he's that talent. And you see him when he's speaking, he's soft-spoken, he's soft-spoken and a nice guy, genuinely a nice dude. But the big deal in this is that Jim Schwartz, Coach Schwartz, who coached the Detroit Lions from 09 to 2013, and in that time, coaching the Lions, one of his players were Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson played for Detroit from 07 to 2015. And Coach Schwartz decided to poke the bear. And he said to Metcalf in the pregame, listen, a lot of people are comparing you to Megatron. He said, I coach Megatron. You're not there. You're not that. And this tripped me out. This trips me out. I watch my guy, and I'll share this with you. I watch my guy, and I hope I'm not breaking his trust, but I'm just sharing it with you. I watch him every morning because he's my guy, Brandon Marshall. I watch first thing first just to be able to talk with him and say, hey, man, I saw this. I thought you said this. You look great doing this. Just to give some thoughts and some advice and talk. You know, we talk about what we do now. We talk about what we did then and now what we do now in this business. We talk about it. So, and I watched him on, and he said, yes, DK Metcalf used this as fuel. And the guy that he's on the show with, Nick Wright, was trying to say, no. Jim Schwartz was trying to give him a compliment. I had to text Brandon. I said, Brandon, I don't ever use that thing where you're talking to guys that didn't play and you say, hey, man, listen, you never played. You don't know what you're talking about. I never use that. I never say it. Because knowledge can come from anywhere. Only a fool shall have himself for a master. I can get knowledge about the game from guys that never played the game. But there are certain things like this situation right here that I would have used. Nick, I appreciate what you're saying, but you're way off base. You have to be on a field pregame to know. There's no way somebody's trying to lift you up before you play his team. They don't do that. Nobody does that. And Schwartz's personality is not that. He's always trying to get in your head to mess with you, make you think less of yourself so you perform less in front of him or less against his team. Nick, you're wrong, buddy. Nick also brought up that Calvin Johnson in his second year had 1,300 receiving yards, 12 touchdowns, and averaged 17 yards per reception. That's exactly the pace that DK Metcalf is on. So, Nick, you know that, and I'm sure Coach Schwartz knows that. If he meant it for a compliment, he should have said, man, you're right on pace with Megatron, and not tell him he is not Megatron. This was to get in his head, but he showed you. Once you get in your head, get in my head, you might not like what I do to you. Because he went off and he burned him. He tried to put Schwartz tried to play Darius Slay on DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf, he had 10 receptions, 177 yards, 7 for 141 came on Darius Slay. So if you didn't think I was Megatron then, I'm sure you think I'm Megatron now. Speaking of stopping great wide receivers, my man, all pro, all everything, and I believe the coin got started with him, shut down corner. Darryl Green is who I'm about to check. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Joining me on the MIP is my very dear friend. I just want to tell you, this man from Houston, Texas. Let me give you some of the distance traveled for this man. 19 seasons with the Washington football team.
20 seasons.
We just had this debate. Okay, I'll give you, we'll get into a conversation about that. 20 seasons with the Washington football team. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 22 and Super Bowl 26, seven-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, and a Walter Payton Man of the Year. I must say, let me introduce to you, Darryl Green. Man, this is a bad man here. Darryl, that last one right there, a Walter Payton Man of the Year, that's the one I knew I could just never get, Darryl. No, you know, I mean, that's the one I knew I could never get. But a guy like you, I knew could get and could get almost every year. Out of all the things you have accomplished, Darryl, and you've accomplished so many, let me start with asking you, what would you say is your greatest accomplishment?
Well, when you frame your greatest accomplishment, it has to come from your beginnings. So my greatest accomplishment is not my career. It's because my parents got divorced. My dad didn't know his dad. My dad was an alcoholic. A lot of struggles we faced. I grew up in the same projects, George Floyd. But at first, it was my mama, daddy, a house, a car, a lawnmower, garage. And then, boom, we're in the projects. Food stamps, free lunch, free breakfast, everything. So my greatest accomplishment, Mike, is that because of my background, I wanted to be a good husband and dad because my mom picked me up from school and I'm like, where are you going? And they said, we're leaving dad. So it's not football. It's that me and Joel, 35 faithful years, and Jared solid in his marriage, and Jarrell solid, and Crystal solid, enjoy solid, and raising their kids, getting ready to be 13 grandbabies. So my real, like we said before we got on the show, people don't know you. They don't really know, because in reality, NFL Man of the Year may not be attainable, but Man of the Year in terms of, I consider you a great man. I'm talking about Mike. I'm not talking about the mistakes, all this stuff. Everybody made mistakes. But there's a human that we know who you really are. And
let me say something, too. To that, Darryl, I want to say this, because you text me the other day, man, and we've had, and we'll talk about some of the fun we've had on the football field in those battles, man. But you text me the other day, and you invoked my mom. You say, hey, man. After I reached out to you to have your happy holidays, you said, boy, that's that mom in you. That's what I've always loved about you. You got the mom. And you don't know now, I lost my mom 5 years ago in November 5th, right? 5 years ago. And I was just dealing with this early November. I was just dealing with it, man. I was like, man, I just miss her. You know what I mean? I miss her. I wish she could have seen more. I wish she could have seen more. I wish she could have been here. And when you hit me with that, I was like, oh, my God, man, that touched me. I was emotional when I got it. So I just appreciate you. I appreciate you for seeing that in me.
What I'm talking about, because I've known you for a long time and you're a public figure and all that stuff. But we knew Mike and Darryl. We play the game. We're going to be fighting out there and going at it, trying to win the game. But you ain't never cussed me out and beat me up and said, man, your mama, you would never disrespect me. On the field, come on, man, let's go at it. But when we finished the field, and even on the field, we had respect for one another. And I tell you, we were seven kids. What are you guys, 12 kids?
No, we got 17 of us.
17 of you guys. Dude, I got respect for a family that comes from that because I understand. I understand something that other people don't understand. And I know what a mama do. And I know what a mama means. And when I see you out there, I see mama's heart. The whole country, as I said in that text, the whole country, I think, throw out the mess up that we all make. The whole country has seen your mama on display with the heart of the man that people know. They can say what they want to say, but they have seen Mama Irving's heart. This dude would jump over a house for anybody, and people out there know it. They know it. And so that's what I was saying, like, man, there he is. I can see it. I see your mama every time I hear you and talk. Man, you're passionate. You care about people. I'm not talking about some mistake you made. I'm talking about who you are. You care about people. You're concerned about people. You're sincere. You stand up to stuff. That's mama, boy. I know. You ain't got to tell me. I ain't got to grow up next door to you to know.
getting it from someone else is one thing. You know, you and I, we battled hard on the field.
Oh, man.
Now, listen, when I got in the league.
Enjoyed it.
But when I got in the league, it was Daryl Green. That's it. You, the man. Everybody, Daryl Green, the shutdown corner. And I was thinking about this the other day. I got to play Daryl Green with that. I couldn't wait to try. I could play Daryl Green, the greatest. He's the greatest out there. He's a shutdown corner. I don't remember, and I'm asking you this, do you remember? I don't remember that term prior to you. I know we had Lester Hayes and Michael Haynes, but those guys didn't they kind of play their own side, Frank Minifield?
Yeah, yeah.
They played their one side. And I don't remember, where we get this shutdown corner, and were you the first one to start traveling with the wide receiver in the NFL? As far back, I don't remember anybody else.
I certainly don't want to disrespect Night Train Lane and Barney. I think I'm grateful to my coaches for allowing them the revelation to see to be able to. We had Dexter Manley as an end. If you're going to build a defense, you need an end, one at least one corner and one linebacker. And so they use Dexter and
on all
me
levels.
As the
you
base
need
of our
defense on all levels.
Yeah, you need everybody, but if you can get you a killer end, a killer corner, and maybe cover linebacker and leader, then that's the basis of your defense. And I think that they realize at some point, because I played out orthodox. You know, I couldn't get up there and wrestle with you. I use my feet. You know, I'm trying to stay away from you. You know, so I played a little awkward, kind of a little bit of an awkward game. You probably would rather me get up there and so you could throw me down like you done a few times.
Yes, but I would much rather.
And so it was an awkward kind of way the way I played, but I had to. I'm 5'8 and 3/4. I was a 173 when I got drafted, but I had to use what I had. And I grew up with four brothers. You grew up with more brothers, but I grew up with four brothers. And hey, you learn how to leverage and compete and fight. And it wasn't, I never played mad. I played to win, but I really what I think I love the most, I love the, just like what you said, I love the competition. Yeah. I didn't win them all, but I love that we got to do it. I love that. And I tell you, this has been said publicly. I used to be so mad at Jerry Rice because Jerry Rice, he didn't want to be my friend and laugh and talk about it.
Right.
Dude, me and Mike didn't kick my butt. I got Mike a couple times, but we laughing and we talking about it. And we're not like, man, I hate Daryl Green. Man, I hate Mike. No, hey, man, I got your butt today. Yeah, he did, boy. Hey, man, I got your butt today. That's the fun of it. It was fun. I don't understand why people didn't understand that football is fun.
It was fun
to me, Mike. And the fun is not just always winning. The fun is being in it. It's a million of them wish they could have been there. And I say this real last thing is that Gerald Wilkins used to be a defender in basketball. And they used to always talk about how Michael Jordan killed him. I wish I could have just got the chance to play Michael Jordan. Even if he dunked on me.
Right.
I might block it, though. I might block it.
Right.
I might block his shot, but at least I was there. At least I was there.
You want to measure.
So I'm just glad, man, that we got to play each other. you're one of the greatest receivers in history. I'm one of the greatest corners in history. And we got to compete. And you know what? They wasn't there. We were. And I'm happy for us. We had fun doing it. I want some. You want some.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But you are skirting that you started this thing. And that is fascinating to me. That's look, we see guys now, and everybody is looking for that Darryl Green. I told you earlier, I always talk about distance travel. Somebody, you're talking about 5'8", 173. How we've had great guys. We see him at the Hall of Fame. I stand up next to Mel Blount. I'm like, oh my God, you played corner? How the hell? How did you play corner? Did you see what Mel Blount looks like, man? I'm looking.
Mel Blount.
Golly, that was a corner. Can you imagine?
Bruh.
Darryl, for you to be the one, that people coin as that shutdown corner, follow that guy wherever he goes. Baddest man in the league. You know, every team got one, because this level, everybody can play. Yeah. Every team got one. Follow that guy wherever he goes and shut him down. That's incredible. You started that whole revolution. You got Deion, Jalen Ramsey, all them guys paid because they have the ability to do what you did in traveling, man. Do you ever think about that?
You know what? You got me thinking. I wish they would all send me a check.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, man.
I'm for real.
They all send me a check. They need to send me a check. No, man.
They owe you something.
I never really thought about it. I'm just that little happy kid. I was happy-go-lucky, man. I was just happy to be out there. I was serious and sober. I trained hard. I worked hard. I knew that my team was depending on me to get this job done because remember, playing the best player that brought that team to the dance, the ball is going to go. I remember there's a game we played in. It was the last player of the game. It was against the Minnesota Vikings to go to the Super Bowl. Mike, I don't think I went to the huddle. I'm like, they're going to number one,
Anthony Carter from Fort Lauderdale.
I don't have to come to the huddle.
I remember
they're going
this game.
To Anthony.
Dog,
they
that was
are
a great
going
game
to
too.
Anthony. So it's like, I know what they brought me here for. What my job is, and either I'm gonna get it done or not. So I was very sober. I was fun, but I was sober about what they expected of me and what it would require for us to try to get to the next level. So I was very serious. I just wasn't. I was still fun. I wasn't stuck up and weird. I was still laughing and having fun, but on the inside, I was like, man, this is serious. And that's that balance that I think these guys lose. How can you really have fun, but it's still serious?
Yeah.
But balance that thing. That was the unique thing that I think I had, the ability to be sober and serious at the same time, man, to not take it too serious and to have fun with it. That's probably how I played 20 years, because it was always just fun to me. It's the same game, touch on the street, tackle on the grass with my buddies. And, you know, now I'm playing in front of people. I don't know. It was fun though, Mike. Playing against you, man. You were a handful. You were a handful, dude. You look how you're big, you're strong, you're powerful. If it touch your hands, you catching it. You're running great routes. You're trying to win. You're serious. You got the heart of a champion, dude. That was fun. But that was serious. That was serious.
Challenging stuff. It was challenging stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, man, that's fun that we had. You know what I mean? Who gets to do that?
I'll never forget seeing you, Darryl. And I remember I was watching you. I said, man, this dude can fly, man. This dude can fly. And that scared me. Because, you know, coming up, you know how it is. I'm coming up. Oh, he's a big guy, but he really can't run. You got to work his speed and everything. And now I'm coming in this league. And I'm like, this dude, I'm watching you win the fastest man contest and all of this stuff. I'm like, this dude is flying. So my thought was, There's no way you get it. Don't even try to run back. You just got to try to lean on them like a boxer. Just lean on them and try to pump body blow, slow them down. Every chance I get, I was trying to block you. And just
you got me. You got me a couple good uppercuts.
Oh, come on, man. I would try. Yo, you got me good too now. But even that, the old God, you remember that time you got me and you said, Mike, stop. Don't make me do this, Michael. Don't make me do it. Don't make and then you
that is not true. Man. That is not true. That is not
down
true.
My nose.
That was an accident.
Yeah, you broke my nose.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was an accident. I didn't even know you got hit in the nose. I knew you got hit in the nose and you came back with that stuff on your nose.
But what I was amazed at, because I'm trying to make you, man. I'm trying to get you there. I'm trying to get in your head.
No, I wasn't gonna
and you
get
kept
that.
Saying, you all cool. Said, hey, Mike, I'm gonna tell you now. I don't warn you now. Stop doing that, Mike. Stop doing it. And I'm blah, 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 blah. Mike, I don't warn you. Hey, don't make me
hey,
do
look,
it.
Look,
you gave me Mike. Warning. You gave me warning. You gave me warning.
But you're right though, Mike. Your strategy was, hey, I'm going to shake this dude up.
I
wasn't
going to
get shooken up. I just, it was still, I was having too much fun. I never really got mad on the field. I was always thinking and trying to have fun and competing. And when you did something great, I acknowledge it was great. And I did something great, it was great. But I just think, man, I could be a good model for a kid on how to approach the game. It is serious. It's sobering. You can get hurt. You're responsible to get your job done, but you got to keep having fun. Come on, man. We still playing that game that we used to play. You pick him. Hey, I got Mike. All right, I got Jim. I got Tim. You got John. It's still the same game. And I never lost that part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're so blessed to have it. So blessed to have it.
Oh, man.
Where they have it right now. You can get your $100 million contract right now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you got to pay homage to all the guys that have played before you. Like I play homage to all the guys played before me. But that thing is still growing, and it gives guys great opportunity. And I hope they take advantage of it. Daryl, we called it, and I introduced you from the Washington football team. There's been a lot made about that name, the old moniker, the Redskins, man. What are your thoughts on that, and how much do you miss – What are your thoughts on it? Let me just ask that.
Well, I'm on record for saying I applauded the owner, Mr. Dan Snyder, for making the change, because my philosophy was that if American society, and this is for now, if the American people can say that the greatest people everywhere, if we can get back to an idea that the greatest of all of creation is not whales and tigers and lions and dolphins, but it actually is human beings. If we could say, no matter what, if anytime a situation happens, the first thing that we'll look at is human beings first. If we can do that, then I'm going to vote with human beings. So if some human beings were mistreated, let's go with the human beings. Change the name. So I told him, man, I applauded him for doing that. Did we appreciate it? That we were the Washington Redskins. But some people said, man, you know what? This really offend us. Man, look, I'm saying if this offended you guys, come on, man. What? Change the name. Change the name. Well, Daryl, what about your jerseys and all that stuff? Hey, get rid of them. Give me the new one. Dude, come on, man. We nostalgia? I actually read on national TV the definition of nostalgia. Man, forget nostalgia. What about the people? That's the problem, Mike. What about you saying, well, man, but the Redskins, I love it. Yeah, but dude, it turns out that, that Confederate statue, it turns out that your daddy, man, let's stop it then. Stop.
Yeah, let's stop it.
Stop doing it. If it really hurt these people, man, I'm willing to cash it in. Everything is up for grabs. And that was my thought about it, that if we really hurting people, man, get rid of it. People over stuff, people over money, people over trees, people over birds. I'm going people. I'm going people. So you can have my jersey and everything you want if you want it, because I'm going people. I'm going to vote people.
And more so now. More so now than ever. You know what I mean? What we've gone through in 2020 and all of this, and the people we lost to this thing, to this COVID-19 thing. So more so now than ever, we should all go people. I'm with you on that.
People first.
We should think people first, and then everything else will work its way out. The Redskins. The Redskins. I just said it.
That's right.
Hey, I'm with you. My first game.
If anybody's Redskins, it's me. I mess up because
I do good. I'm good on TV, but I see you and I harken back to battle, and then I start saying Redskins. Let me tell you one story I tell people all the time that I just want to confess. I know it's a lie, and I've let it live long enough. I want to get it out in front of God. Now, you're my rookie year. We came to Washington to play a game. I had like 6 for 149 and 3 touchdowns. You started that game. You came or you played me. But you got hurt and went out. You got hurt early. I mean, it was early, first quarter, something like that. I don't know what happened. But you went out the game. And I had a showdown. And I went for 149, 3 touchdowns, some 6 receptions. Every time since then, somebody said, "What's your best game?" Oh, my rookie year against Daryl Green. Even though you were gone. You started that game, and I have failed to tell them that those 6 for 149 did not come on you because you had left the game already. So I do want to confess that.
I remember that came out. That did come out. But what was the game that you – it was one game that I'm just – since we on this, I don't know. It was a game here, and I said to myself on the sideline, I should have basically not even got up. Mike, I couldn't cover you if they paid me. You could have just stepped off the line and called it. That's the game.
That was that Berline game. That was that Berline game.
Oh, man.
Berline, when Troy went down.
I don't know what.
I called
you had to be going on the sideline saying, "God, look, I don't know what's wrong with him. He got something wrong with him, but throw me the ball every time." I'm serious. I was like, I just can't cover him. Whatever he did, it was okay. That was the game you should have been talking about. You said the Berline game?
That was
It was here.
All right. Steve Berline played that game. You're right. And I caught a one-handed. And this is why I think it was issue. You have the physical skill set. But my thought was always, you got to outthink him. I got to try to outthink him. He knows things. Your position, you talked about it. You play inside, you play outside. You weren't conventional. I said, oh, my God, this dude doing all. I'm trying to figure out what he's doing. Trying to figure out what is he doing. And I believe I said this when Troy went down. I said, Berline's throwing him off because the balls were a little off. Our offense was such a timing offense. On that four-step little skinny post, Troy's letting that ball go.
That thing was gone.
So, that ball was gone. But Berline, he let it go a little farther inside. I think you drove, and then I kind of had to go by you and caught it with one hand. It was because it was Berline that it was open. Because if Troy throws it on time, you were right there. And I thought about that during the game. I said, I think Berline has him off a little. I thought about that.
I mean, he got him off. He's off.
I said, Berline, yeah, that, I don't because know. The timing was off a little.
You know what? I'm gonna take that and start throwing Berline behind under the bus. Saying Berline came in there. I didn't even think about that. But I said to myself, I'm like, man, I just shouldn't have even got out the bed. I should have just go coach, play somebody else. I'm gonna go on home because I can't cover. I don't care what they do. He catches it and it's over. So that was a crazy game, man. But yeah, it was such a fun time, though, man. I don't mean to sound like we old, but dude, I enjoy it.
We are old.
And everybody knows my son. You are my son's favorite player. My son.
You know, people.
All in his room, and it's like, so you know, and if people need to know the truth, man. How does he have that in the room?
Getting ready to play each other. How is he messing with you? And we got to go play. They're like, man, what are you doing? You and your son just what was that like?
I couldn't do, man. Look, my son had the right to like who he wanted to like. I never could say, you know, hey man, don't like him. No, that's not fair. You know, he's a kid, and he can watch whatever team he want to watch and like the player that he likes. I didn't have no problem with it. I'm like, hey, Mike, you like Mike? You know, and I don't remember him saying much noise to me when we played. I guess he probably went quiet on it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, okay, I ain't gonna say nothing this week, Dad. You know, I ain't gonna mess with Dad. No, man. To me, it was an honor for me. You know, he likes a player who we compete against, who I have respect for. He wasn't liking no jackleg. He liking somebody that was legit. And I think he would probably could appreciate the competition that he saw me and you do. I don't even know. We got to ask him that one day, but I never really drilled him on it. Hey, I just went in this room like, man. And you gave, what, you give him a picture, a jersey or something? Yeah. Like, man, he got this junk on the wall, man. I told him. Gloves, and you gave him some gloves or something.
I love Jerry, man. I love Jerry. Yeah. He's a great kid, man. Great dude, man. Great young man, I should say. But even getting to know him over the years, man, and have fun with that and come over to your home and see your family.
And he hanging at your house.
Yeah. And him coming here. I mean, that honestly is what makes me trip sometimes. I say, look at how God wove all these things, you know, as we walk through life. You know, guys, you battle against, you and I getting opportunity to go speak on a spiritual level.
Places
together,
children,
after those battles, speak to children. That right there, that you look back.
We got something that we can give, we can offer. And that's what I'm saying. You know, and Jerry, I love Jerry, but I was so disappointed that Jerry, he didn't get it. Jerry, you missing it. We're going to one day be retired. I want to have, you know, Mike Quick, my boy, Roy Green, Urban Fry, all these guys we competed hard. But no, man, we got something together that we can benefit somebody. Man, you can go out and talk to kids together and be a benefit to those kids. And I used to just be so mad at Jerry. Like, Jerry, we need to be friends, man. Because here's the deal. It's a funny story. There's a guy on our team. He was a wide receiver named Westbrook. And this is a true story.
Yeah,
big guy like you.
Big Westbrook, from Colorado.
We were giving it to him at practice. That's when one-on-one. We went one-on-one hard every day.
Yeah.
And he Westbrook wanted to fight. And so I said to Westbrook, I said, look, man, let me tell you why you want to fight me. You want to fight me because I'm doing this thing. And I said, but here's the deal. That's what I'm here for. You heard of me. This is what I do. And so here's the deal, Mike. Why don't we go and fight in the morning in the parking lot every morning? Because here's the problem. Every day at 1 o'clock in practice, I'm going to do it again.
I'm going to be right.
I got to. I have to. So why don't we fight in the morning? Because at 1 o'clock, it's on again. I'm going to keep doing it because that's what I do. So the point is, Jerry, you're trying to kick my butt. I'm trying to kick your butt. That's going to happen whether you like me or not, or shake my hands or say what's up or how your mama doing. So we can go and be friends because it's not going to change. Mike, you ain't no, man, I don't want to kiss no balls on D Green. That's my boy. No, I'm trying to kill D Green out here. I'm not going to take your stamina away from you because I'm your friend. You want to beat? Come on. Who wanted to beat their friends as kids? All of us.
Right.
So that's what hurt me about Jerry. Like, Jerry, I don't have the camaraderie with you 20 years later. I won't have that with you. I can't laugh and talk with you because you didn't allow me in to be friends, relational with you, because you couldn't balance kick my butt on the field and laugh afterwards. That's cool. Because I'm going to do it. Mike, you're going to try to kick my butt anyway. That doesn't matter.
Especially now, Daryl. You know, we're not going back on the field. Our stories, our connectivity is stronger and better together to help others than it is apart, you know. To be honest with you,
We didn't create this today. We created it during our time. We did it on our way here. We didn't just, I'm friends with Mike after that. No, we were rolling and still kicking butt against each other out there. But we were building relationally that now you call me, hey, what up, D? What's up, man?
Right.
Yeah, but nobody took away from you trying to spin the ball on me and doing your thing. Hey, man, that's what you do. I'm not mad about that. Right. You know, in the sense that I'm mad at you, I'm mad that I let it happen or I didn't get the job done. But I'm not like, oh, man, I don't like him no more. Hey, man, you kicked my butt today. I kicked your butt today. Hey, that's that. See you next time.
And Jerry Rice is a bad man. Jerry shouldn't hold any grudges on anybody. He won. He won all the time. He did well. He has everything.
It wasn't grudges. It was wrong thinking.
Because he can't put that.
Yeah, the game became too big. You still got to walk and chew gum at the same time. You still got the wife, the kids, the dog, grandma. You still got to be. You still got to exist.
Live life. You
still got to exist. And that's the guys who are successful. Those who can walk and chew gum at the same time. I can be a great. I call it my 5-100s. I'm great. By the grace of God, I'm giving 100% to God. He'll show that hopefully in my day. 100% to my wife, 100% to my children, 100% to my community work, and 100% to my job. And so if I can give 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, not 110, not 120, because if you take 20, then at least 80 for something else. Five things, 100% to God, my wife, my children, my job, and my nonprofit work that I don't get paid for, 100, 100, 100, 100. I'm not going to give no 150 to football, because if I do, guess what? It's only going to be 50 for something else. I'm going to drop somebody. Hey, I ain't got but 50 left for you, baby girl. I ain't got but 50 left for you, son, because I gave 200 to football. Then I'm sharp, y'all. I'm sharp. I just gave 100 to everything, and that's why I could walk away like, hey, I gave 100%. I'm done with it. Let me go on and do my next thing. It never took more of me, Mike. I gave it its required respect, and then I moved on. I went home, gave Jewel and the children their required respect. By the grace of God, God has required respect. And my nonprofit children outside of me and families, it's proper respect. Don't go, them coaches don't give 120%. Dude, take an 8-ounce cup of glass water and pour 8 ounces of water in it. No. Pour 200% of water. Then that's going to be 100 in the glass and 100 on the ground. Right. All you can put is 100% of 8 ounces in an 8-ounce glass. That was my philosophy. When you see me in football, I'm 100. When the game's over, I'm done. Well, I'm done. Me and my wife, whatever, and the kids, now it's us. God, the community, right. The church, whatever. So if people can do that, and when you put 150, 200, 1,000, what you're trying to do into football, I guarantee you, you just wiped out everything else.
And you'll come up short. But
you're going to come up short 100. Somewhere else.
Speaking of 100 now, I'm curious on this. I know you were the fastest man in the NFL. You see Tyreek Hill running in a race, 40, 60, 100. Who wins the 40, who wins the 60, who wins the 100? You and Tyreek Hill, at your fastest moment. I still believe you can go run with him right now. I saw you run.
I can't.
45. How old were you when you ran a 4.4?
Well, I ran 4.24 at 40, my 18th season.
4.24 at 40.
And then I ran 4.43 at 50. And now I'm 60. I don't know what I can do now. But I will tell you, in terms of running, which was kind of weird to me, I was just gifted, born. God gave it to me, and then I developed it. But I really was surprised on Monday night chasing down Tony Dorsett at the way people responded to it, because I thought, what they excited about? I mean, I ran down this guy. That's like walking to me. So I really was never that kind of weirded out about being fast. I was just born fast. And I could, if you look in the NFL fastest man, I'll beat you by one step. If you run one, I'll just beat you by, I can beat anybody. I'll beat you by a step. I can catch you or beat you by a step. That's just what I could do. I don't know what I could do against this kid, us in our generation. But I will say this. They declared me, I didn't declare myself, as the fastest player in NFL history. And that was above the fastest man considered Bob Hayes. And they said Bob was second. I didn't say that. Some people, the smart people out there said I was. Tyreek Hill may be the fastest of his generation, but for all generations, he'll go behind me and Bob Hayes.
How would you cover him? How would you cover somebody like that? I mean, talk to me about it. The difference between covering a Tyreek Hill, who's a fast guy, small guy, and a DK Metcalf that you see. That I don't even know. I didn't even know God made people like DK Metcalf still. That big and can run that fast.
Mike, to me, if the battle is speed, I'm going to sleep like a baby. I don't feel like I was ever in any scenario where the speed created any kind of, the speed is a benefit. One of the guys who was fast was Randy Moss.
Yeah, Randy Moss fly now.
This obviously Randy is an incredible player, awesome Hall of Famer.
Right.
I didn't miss one sleep on Randy Moss in terms of, you got to have something else. You got to have route running, heart, hands. You got to have a lot of other things to really give me a problem. And you wasn't no burner. You gave me more hell than a ton of speed burners. I wish they were. I wish you were just a speed burner. My day would have been a lot. My day would have been a lot easier competing with you. For example, my good friend Willie Gault. Willie Gault was a NFL basketball player. He's trying to stretch the field. Man, that's going to be a funner, easier day than battling somebody like you out there, technician, route running, grabbing balls that you shouldn't have caught.
Right.
Big, strong. Mean, pushing, trying to get it done, trying to get more yards than you deserve. That's a problem. Talk about a guy just running fast. Come on, man. We gonna just race out here? Oh, man. I was doing that in bare feet around the house like motorcycles with my brother when we were kids. You want to race? Come on. Ain't nobody running fast. Now, with the exception of the great the late Cliff Branch, my homeboy from Branch. Texas.
Yeah, Cliff Branch.
Now, Cliff Branch couldn't get out
of the
way. He paid him. He cha-cha-cha-ing all day. But Cliff Branch, da-da-da-da, he could go. He could go. And unfortunately for Cliff Branch, he caught me, like you're talking about rookie years. He caught me in my rookie year in that Super Bowl and said, little rookie, I'm going to show you the game, baby boy. I'm going to show you the game. We were homeboys. He called me homeboy. Homeboy? I'm going to show you the game, baby. Cliff Branch was a fast guy. He, early on, I tell you what, he taught me about what the fast guys can be, but I never had no problem with no speed. Now, you're a problem. And you were not, like, known as no speed burner.
No
speed burner. So, no, you think a speed guy or you? I'll take that speed guy any day, and I'm not just saying it because I'm talking to you. But no, all the stuff you were dealing with, all of the idiosyncrasies and the issues that I'm dealing with you, if you're just going to go and race, you would have made my day so much easier.
then what does that make you think of a guy like a DK Metcalf? Big physical guy, but has some pretty good speed. Great speed.
Well, was he faster than Randy Moss?
Yeah, he's up there with Randy now.
Yeah, but again, I'm not changing the game. Speed is not a problem. And size, how big do you have to be? The ball is going to come to you. And I remember, and you may have seen this, I play inside, outside. I mostly played outside. So all that back shoulder fade, you couldn't have got that on me. Because I had a general philosophy that I want to see, like I'm looking at you right now.
Right.
I want it to be me, you the quarterback, and me. So I want it to be me, the receiver, the ball, and the quarterback. I want the quarterback, the ball, the receiver, and me. That's the way I wanted it. I didn't want it to be the quarterback, the ball, me, and the receiver.
Right.
They used to say, they used to say that, on the underthrows, when I'm here with my back turned, in this underthrow, they would say that you could put your your private on my neck. You know, you put your balls on the man's neck. You know, so I was always, no. I'm going to be, it's me, Mike, the ball, and the receipt, and the quarterback. I want to see that.
You want to see it all.
99% of the time, it's the other way around. Quarterback, ball, DB, receiver. That's the way, but if you don't have that speed, you better not be trying to play no outside technique against slants, digs, posts, all the rest.
Right,
you can't
right.
do it. So I will say that all of the God-given unique gift that God gave me and my coach's ability or willingness to allow me to play an unorthodox outside of the concept of the context of the defense, I was breaking a lot of rules the way I played. I was breaking rules and pressing on cover three. If we played cover three, I was pressing on all routes. I broke a lot of rules, but I broke them to the tune of 20 seasons in the first ballot. And so it worked. But if you just go out there doing that, they're going to cut your behind. But I was able to be fortunate by Joe Gibbs and Richie Pettibone let me prove this unorthodox type of play that you can't sell. You can't sell that. But because of that, no matter the size of the player, I felt like I could get it done, you know, because I mostly got it done with my feet. With my feet and then my speed and then my mind and then all the rest of it, body positioning and so forth and so on. Mike, you pushed off, Mike, at the top of your routes.
All the time. All the time. That's why I wanted you next to me. I didn't want to. I wanted you right next to me.
I had a drill for that. I literally created a drill that I worked on every time, every week, every year. I worked on a drill with my feet. That as you, you know, here's what it was, Mike. And it was I could show you the drill. It was a crazy drill that I created. That when you got ready to do it, in the millisecond, my feet would go tee-tee, and it's almost like pull the chair out from under you.
Right.
And then just boom.
Because I wanted something to grab.
I created a drill. And when the teammates would scream on the sideline, "Ref, he's pushing," I would say, "Shut up." I'm telling them to shut up. If he pushed me, it's on me. Because I know he pushed. It's different if you don't know. The dude push off. I'm not mad at him for pushing off. I know he push off.
I was studying.
So I never got mad at anybody for what they do. You're competing. I'm telling you, shut up. What are you screaming at the ref for? If he pushed off, scream at me. It ain't like he did something that I don't know he do. And if I'm not on my game and he gets to do it, then credit him. That's the way I looked at it. Credit to him, Mike. Good job. You did something that I know you was going to do, and you still got it done. I got to credit you.
And that's the battle.
You credited me.
That was a battle, too, because I wanted you close. Like I said, I can't run you. I cannot run you. If I got you anywhere here, I can get you on the top of this rock. And it's going to be time. You know, Troy's going to throw it as I flip. And then the 1-2 step back, ball already hit. It's going to be two. Once the flip come out, it's too late to get to it.
I'll tell you right now, talking to you, one thing we have to agree on, we both knew what each other was all about.
It was
and it wasn't no surprise. And that was the fun. That was what made it fun. That you knew, and I knew you. I know what he gonna do. He know what I'm gonna do. Who can do what they know they gonna do and get it done? That to me is the champion. That's the guy. That's the competition. I don't believe in that fake, you know, tricking and fake. No. Mike gonna be right here. And this is what he's going to do.
But you're saying something, though. You're saying something now. Because what we're talking about, when we played, it was man beat man. You go beat him. You go cover him.
That's
now,
it.
Now it's a lot system beat system. You know, it ain't no man beat man. It's really system beat system. So what we're doing is we're confusing people as opposed to outplaying you. We're confusing. A lot of guys are getting over. I see guys, man. Dude, I tell you guys, man, I played some true corners. Bell Green, Dion, Aeneas Williams, Rod. Those true corners. And we were playing man beat man. Y'all were playing system beat system. We're going to get this guy put on a linebacker, run him across the field. You know what I mean? It's a different game. It's a different game in that sense. But and since it's a different game, who would you look at now when you see the game, and who do you call the shutdown corners in the game now? Who would you say? You know, you got the Ramseys, the Patrick Petersons, the Stephon Gilmores, all these guys that we call shutdown corners now.
I really loved Ramsey. Now, where is Ramsey at now? He just went
Rams. Rams went to Rams. He went from Jacksonville to the Rams.
Oh, I thought he left the Rams.
No, he's not leaving.
Okay, so yeah, so Ramsey, I like Ramsey a lot. I was just really trying to, I don't know if he, is he, you have to, when you're playing like that, there's a maintaining, there's a balance, there's a steadiness that you know, this is what it's going to be every week. Right. It's going to be every week, you know, and you know, you've got to have that. They don't have to have it now because, like you said, they're just playing a system and they're playing computer saying it's going to be this. What about the guy who intercepted the ball when New England played against the Seahawks and they just sat him in the spot and said, play this, stand here.
Right.
Stand here. He's a backup kid. Just stand here. You're not really competing. Just stand here and play this route. I didn't, you know, I'm not knocking him, but I was playing the man, competing with the man in a moment like that. And but to do that, I like Ramsey. He's kind of be the one that I would go with. You know, Patrick Petersons has been very consistent over a long time. I don't think you can put him. Well, you know what? You put Patrick Petersons somewhat in the and I kind of classify him this way, in the Rod Woodson, Patrick Petersons. There's a group that played like they played. You know, bigger guys, you know, play a different way. And then you got guys like me and Dion who we just, right. Hey, we just, you know, they're kind of tweeners of us, but we're just purely what we do. Dion wouldn't go and play no safety at the end of his career.
No.
I wasn't going to touch no safety at the end of my career.
No.
Let me tell you a trick, a true note. When a cornerback gets old, he can go play safety. When a safety get old, he goes home.
Right.
So the greatest plays, you know, cornerback, when you play it like we played, it's the real deal. It's the real deal. And so, you know, when you play out there 20 seasons at corner and it's mano a mano and it's grinding, you've done something, but I don't know that they. I don't know if it's required. I don't even think it's required. You just said it's not even required.
No,
you don't even have to. You don't even have to go and train like I train and study like studied it. You ain't got to create these techniques. You don't have to.
You don't have to.
The coach is going to give you a concept and give you the computer printout and say, "Hey, here's what we're going to do." And that's why Mike. You know that you if you can't complete a ball today at quarterback on offense.
Right.
You shouldn't be in the league.
Right.
There's right. places to be completed on every play.
And then they can't hit you. Then they can't hit you. They can't even hit you till after you catch the ball.
Mike, how many times did y'all go empty backfield? That would be like an anomaly.
Right. We never went empty. We coming down here.
But I'm saying you got an X and a Z. You got an X, a Z, and a Y, and you compete. Now you saying give him a A B C D X Y Z, nobody in the backfield. Well, goodness, that's right. Some mismatches and that's some grass open somewhere.
Right. So two guys over there, send three guys over there. They got two defendants, send three. One guy be open. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, who's not open? You're that's not gonna have doing. Five Darryl Greens covering five Deons. So today, offenses, you are pitiful if you cannot move that ball on offense. You are pitiful.
Yo, I don't hold you up, man. I've had you over 30 minutes here talking, man. And I appreciate you taking the time, man. I can kick it with you all day, man. Del, before I let you go, though, man, when you see right now, I know you say you talk to Dan Snyder. when you see Dan Snyder right now with the Redskins, I keep saying every time, where the Washington football team is right now, they're right there in tops of the NFC East. What is the thought process? What are the thoughts now in Washington about where this team is in that story, the Alex Smith story? Your thoughts on watching Alex Smith come back from that injury?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, we're the worst league out there. It's embarrassing to us.
Yeah, division. You know, especially the way we played it. Especially with the – you remember the 4 years that Buffalo lost the Super Bowl, all NFC East teams. All four of them, the NFC East teams.
Hey.
Like, how did we get to this?
And also, don't get it twisted. Reggie White's Philadelphia Eagles had the ability to get there. They made a few mistakes, so it was all four of us.
Oh, it was a beast.
Well, the East was the beast.
It was a beast.
but right now, with the top team out 14 games, 4 wins. No, I'm sorry, 11 games, 4 wins is your winner. That's just bad. That's bad. So it's the best of the worst. And we beat y'all this week, a week ago or whatever, and we beat Philly. Philly had a unique problem struggling with their offensive line.
Right.
You had two players go down in your O-line in that game.
Right.
I think we have taken advantage to our credit. We have been we're the best of the worst, and we've taken advantage when teams have come less than what they should be. And so it does give us an advantage because we're going to feel better about ourselves. Winning does breed winning. It makes you feel good. Sometimes you can be better than you really are. So advantage, Washington football team advantage in the NFC East. But by the same token, it's nothing to celebrate yet. But I like where they're going. They're built on defense. They are built on defense. They've got two coaches from the 85 Bears. So they're built on defense. The offense, as you mentioned, Smith is a great story, a big applauded. I just pray that we're not sitting there one day if the guy gets that thing hit again, and then now we're just so sad. I think that he's got to be happy. He can retire now because he's got that itch scratched, you know, and he doesn't have to go out like, wow, he ran me out. So I just pray that he stays safe. I don't know that he is the future. I don't think he is, but I'm happy for him. I just hope he gets out of this thing healthy and finishes up and maybe make the playoffs as well.
D, I appreciate you taking the time, my brother. I love
man,
you,
man. Bless you.
Love your family, man. I just thank God for intertwining our worlds. Even though he intertwined it on a football field, he knew we would be together forever.
That's it, man. Brothers for life, man. Brothers for
love,
life.
Brother.
Love you, man.
It's just so interesting in life how the path that we travel, you know, all the great battles that we had against one another, Del Green and I, on the football field. Now, as we go get off the football field and go into our later lives, we become such great friends. I just find that interesting how things like that work out. I guess you build such a respect for one another in battle that you just become comrades afterwards. But I love the dude, man. I just thank him for taking the time. He's always been a playmaker. So let's get to my playmakers of the week. And this, peeps, I told you at the beginning of the show, man, we've had some ballers this week. Some ballers putting up some incredible numbers. And I've always found this to be interesting. And I give playmakers a little something extra once we hit week 12 and on, because they call these the money weeks. You want to go into the final quarter of this season playing your best ball. So if you are a playmaker, you want to play your best ball. And some of these playmakers are doing just that. I want to start with some of my honorable mentions. And I want to start with a guy that plays for the team of my guy that I just talked to, and that's Antonio Gibson. Did you see what he did to my Cowboys last week? 20 rushes, 115 yards, 3 rush TDs. And then he added another 5 receptions for 21 yards on top of that. Just said, here, take this. You want to eat something on Thanksgiving? Eat that. That's what Antonio Gibson did. So he made my honorable mention playmakers. I want to lump these two guys together for Cleveland. Jarvis Landry, 8 for 143 and a touchdown. Nick Chubb, 19 rushes, 144 yards and a touchdown. Added three more receptions for 32 yards. So I want to give a little love to Jarvis and Nick Chubb. I don't know if I can go through a week without mentioning this dude, Derrick Henry. He's already two times been my playmaker of the week, and his butt shows up here again with 27 rushes, 178 rush yards, three, count them, one, two, three, rush TDs, and he caught two passes for another 7 yards, and I mean a dominating performance, dominating. He's a beast, man. He's a beast, but I had to put him on the, under the honorable mentions because of what this one dude did. And I've told you before, he's simply the most feared receiver in the National Football League. That's Tyreek Hill. 13 receptions, 269 yards, 3 receiving TDs. This dude is so fast, he makes fast look slow. I watched, he caught the ball going across the field, stopped, went back up under one guy, and started waving. And he was still flying. When I was running, I needed all things running, running hard to try to run fast. This dude is waving, and he's about to take off like a 747. He's simply the most feared receiver in the National Football League, especially with that quarterback he has. And Tyreek Hill, this week, you are mine. Playmaker of the Week.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.